everybody, and welcome to the online worship service of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Pastor Amanda, and I'm excited to welcome you to today's worship service. I'm glad that you made time to worship today. Our message today is part three in our Advent series, Finding Comfort and Joy. Advent is these four Sundays leading up to Christmas where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who we believe to be our Savior. We celebrate Christmas Eve on December 24th, and this year that is a Tuesday. We'll have services at 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. here in our sanctuary, and we'll have a special online service at 4 p.m. here on our YouTube channel. Wherever you happen to be celebrating Christmas this year, we hope that our church gets to help bring comfort and joy to you this season. So during the Advent season, we look backwards. We read passages from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Bible, about the forecoming, the foreshadowing Messiah. We read these passages as a reminder that Christ is a fulfillment, an answer to prayers from long ago. The birth of Jesus was an answered prayer from God's people. Even though it wasn't answered in the way they expected, and they didn't see it coming. Luke's gospel begins with two parallel stories of visits from angels and expectant mothers and two sons who would be a part of God's unfolding work in the world. Before Mary, the mother of Jesus, is visited by the angel Gabriel, the angel visits an old priest named Zechariah. The encounter with the divine for Zechariah, it happens while he's in the temple doing his job as the priest, attending to his priestly duties. He's in the temple when this angel appears. And the angel tells him that he and his wife are going to have a baby and that they are to name him John. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, now they're older, and thus far they have not been able to have children of their own. So it was hard for him to believe this message that she, now Elizabeth, in her old age would have a child at all. And so he pushes back on this message, saying, "How can I be sure of this?" And then that's the last thing that Zechariah is actually able to say until his son is born. His ability to speak was taken away due to his lack of faith. I find this part of the story both fitting and a little unfair. Anyone who's been pregnant knows that men don't always know what to say and sometimes say the wrong thing to women. And so I do think it's a little funny that this dad's voice just gets taken away, so he can't say the right or wrong things. Then I also have compassion for him. I feel a little bad for him because it seems like his skepticism and cynicism is well earned. After years of wanting and waiting for this exact prayer to be answered, I think it stands to reason that he would be skeptical, so we can find that understanding. But it seems that what the Lord had for Zechariah, it wasn't a list of explanations or justifications, but a time of observation. For the rest of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Zechariah, all he could do was watch and pay attention to what God was doing. I had an experience kind of like this at camp earlier this year. As you know, we take our students up to a winter camp in Wisconsin, and it's one of my favorite things that we do. I love this camp, and I love taking our teenagers there and watching them love it too. And earlier in the year, we had our whole confirmation class up there. I had my co-teacher with me and one of our awesome small group leaders, and it was set to be a great weekend. And then Friday night, I started to feel this little like tingle in my throat. Now this is like super normal for me and super common. There's a lot of loud singing up at camp. There's sometimes some yelling, and there's just endless talking. You're with this group of people for hours on end, and you're just talking. So it's normal for me to kind of like lose my voice or get raspy. So I'm like, we'll drink some hot tea. Everything's going to be fine. This is our first night. And then the next morning, my voice is like pretty raspy. Like I don't sound like myself. And by lunchtime, I cannot speak. I have no voice. I have 15 some teenagers to be in charge of, and I cannot talk. I have never had to rely on my team of leaders more. From that point on, Mike and Corinne, they were in charge of our youth group. They communicated to them, they kept track of them, they communicated where we needed to go next and what we were doing. They led the small group discussions, they prayed for our students. The last night we were at camp during worship, the worship leader asked all of the leaders and pastors to kind of come down and line the stage so that students could come forward and if they wanted to, ask for something to be prayed for, to like receive prayer from their leaders. And this is kind of like, we don't do this on Sunday mornings. This is kind of a special camp thing for our students. And so I was standing down there, but I had really no voice to speak prayers with and for our students. And so a couple students, they kind of came down and I'd like whisper in their ears a prayer over what they had mentioned to me. And I love praying with and for our students. And so I appreciated that moment I had with them, but I was like, my voice was not above a whisper. And then by the end of this song where all the students are praying, our group is kind of like huddled together in a little circle, like a big group hug. And Mike, one of our leaders, he's like a big tall guy. His arms are kind of like wrapped around all of us. And I don't know if we exchanged a look. I don't know if this was his idea, but he like wrapped up this time for us with prayer. He prayed over our students. He prayed when I couldn't. And nothing like this has ever happened for our students before. I'm the pastor, I'm the professional prayer. If I am in the room, I am the one often praying. It turned out it was so important for our group, for our students, to not have me be the loudest voice in the room. In the absence of my voice, the leader's voice was louder and more impactful. I never would have put like go mute at winter camp on my youth pastor bingo card, but it turned out to be a really important experience for me as a leader and for our students. It gave the leaders a chance to do what only they can do as leaders to impact the faith of our students. Maybe like Zechariah, I needed a little bit of forced silence to see what God was doing around me. Zechariah didn't get his voice back until his son was born, and it was time for the child to be named. And Elizabeth and Zechariah decided to name him John, just like the angel Gabriel had instructed them. Now this, naming him John, was an act of obedience, an act of faithfulness in who God was calling them to be as a family and really what God was doing in the world. So God recognized that faithfulness, and Zechariah gets his voice back. And the first words he says aloud are, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for God has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." He erupts in song. This is a song of praise. It follows the pattern of two other songs we see early in Luke's gospel. Zechariah both recounts the history of God's promises to God's people and prophesies, predicts, shares about the way that God will continue to be faithful to those promises. Promises like raising up a mighty Savior, showing mercy to God's people, bringing light into darkness. Zechariah reminds the people listening and reminds us today reading that this is who God is, this is what God does, this is why Jesus was born. Later in this passage, Zechariah speaks of the birth of his own son and what God's plan is for John, who would later we would come to know as John the Baptist, who preached about Jesus coming and Jesus' ministry and baptized people into the faith. Luke chapter 1, 76 to 79 says, "And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And that kind of like wraps up this prophecy that Zechariah shares. God demonstrated power and faithfulness in a particular way through Zechariah's family to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. But God invites all of us in our own ways to be a part of preparing the way for Jesus. As Pastor Josh mentioned a few weeks ago, Advent is the season of waiting and anticipation between what began with the birth of Jesus and what will ultimately come to completion when Jesus returns. Advent is this season in between. We're in between two Advents. Every day we encounter evidence that God has redeemed the whole world and evidence that the world is not yet God's home. We see evidence of God's mercy between strangers and examples of those who wield power mercilessly against strangers. We see stories of peacemaking and places where peace seems impossible. We are desperate for the comfort and joy that God brings, and we struggle to find that joy even in the best things. People today are struggling to find the comfort and joy that God brings. So the individual ways that we help prepare the way for Jesus to meet our family and friends and neighbors has never been more important. We are desperate for the comfort God brings, and we struggle to find the joy even in some of the best things. People today are struggling to find the comfort and joy that God brings. So the individual ways that we help prepare the way for Jesus to meet our friends and family and neighbors has never been more important. I find that in Christmas time, it's easier than ever to help bring Jesus into our everyday conversations, even in simple ways. It might just be the answer to the question, what are your plans for Christmas? When you share that coming to church on Christmas Eve is a part of how you celebrate Christmas, you're inviting God into that moment and could be inspiring somebody else to find their self in the Christmas story this season. You prepare the way for Jesus when you bring your friends and family to a Christmas program here at our church to see your kids in costume or to decorate a gingerbread house. You're preparing the way for God to encounter your loved ones. One of the ways I started noticing that some of you all do this is bring Jesus casually into your life at Christmas time is through our Christmas cards. I don't know if you send a family Christmas card or not. I love to get them, and I love getting them from our church family. I used to always like keep them here in my office and tape them up on my door. But this year, what I've loved more than ever is my older daughter opening them, saying, "Mom, these are our church friends." And then she hangs those cards up with the rest of the cards we get from our friends and family outside of the church. So I love getting your Christmas cards. And one of the things I started noticing is some of the ways that you guys share notes about the highlights of your year. And sometimes moments with our church are in your highlights. So a family shared about a student making their confirmation this year, and another mentioned a mission trip experience or a way that your family volunteers in Sunday school. These little simple ways, I don't even know if you know you're doing it, but you are sharing. You are preparing the way for Jesus to meet your friends and family and coworkers and whoever you share those Christmas cards with. You are helping prepare the way for somebody to meet Jesus. And that helps them find that comfort and that joy that we all need, that we know that God brings at Christmas. Whether it's an answer to a question, an invitation to church, a story of our church, there is nothing more impactful for people who are longing for God's comfort and joy than to hear your very own experience of finding comfort and joy with God. That's how our faith is built. It's how it's strengthened. It's how we get to sit here today with this gospel good news, because people told the story of encounters of finding comfort and joy with the living God. It's still a couple days away from Christmas. There is still time for you to play a role in preparing the way for Jesus to meet somebody new this Christmas. Let me pray for us. God of all generations, we give you thanks for always being faithful and doing a new thing when the world needed it most. God, we pray that you would help us find you this Christmas in our traditions of old or things that we're doing for the first time. Help us to have eyes to see the people who are looking for comfort and joy in our midst. And help us be the people to prepare the way for you to do what only you can do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.